Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. Welcome aboard. Thank you for listening. I hope everybody's having, just a fine Tuesday out there. I'm still in the throes of spring break, so my Tuesday is going fantastically. We live in the greatest country on the planet. If you live in America, you do live in the greatest country on the planet. The greatest country history has ever known. There's nothing you can do to change my mind on that, by the way. Did you know today's the anniversary of the announcement of the polio vaccine? We were talking the other day about America being only 4% of the population. And as 4% of the population, you would think that she would have 4% of the inventions and 4% of the discoveries and all of that. But that's not the case. 4% of the population and out of America is produced upwards of 90% and more, probably, of the world's most groundbreaking inventions. One of those groundbreaking inventions came in 1953 at the hand of Dr. Jonas Salk. Here's how Bill Bennett describes it. He says the word polio terrified Americans during the first half of the 20th century. The disease often struck children, killing its victims or leaving them crippled. During the summer, which seemed to bring the worst outbreaks, worried parents kept their children away from swimming pools, movie theaters, and other public places. Newspapers ran regular reports of new cases and deaths. Boy, what does that sound like? Doesn't that sound like the, I don't want to call it a, choose your words here, Dean. It just sounds like, the summer of 2020 all over again, where everybody had to be bubble wrapped. President Franklin D. Roosevelt, crippled by the virus himself, rallied the country to fight the disease. Scientists worked around the clock to find a vaccine while Americans dug into their pockets and donated change to the March of Dimes to pay for research. Now, we could draw comparisons between the polio vaccine and the coronavirus, vaccine. That's not my point here. My point is that because of freedom, because of liberty, because of the ability to go after it, because of the ability to celebrate intellect, back in the day when we celebrated intellect, a polio vaccine was discovered. The miracle Americans had been praying for came on March 26, 1953. Dr. Jonas Salk announced on a national radio show that he had successfully tested a polio vaccine. To show that it was safe, he vaccinated himself and his own family. Because people were still concerned about vaccines back in those days. I don't know. Is it safe? We don't have that concern anymore. We've just come to trust that they're safe and we just go after it. And we just take them willy-nilly, whatever that means. Salk, the son of Polish immigrants, could have become rich from the discovery. But when asked who held the patent on the vaccine, he answered, "Well, the people, I would say. There is no patent. Could you patent the son?" Wouldn't that be nice if that was still the case today? But that's not the case. Big Pharma has now become big money. Again, this isn't my... I'm just drawing parallels, we can draw comparisons all day long, and that's not my ultimate point, although I do find it interesting. Within months, school children across the country were receiving the vaccine, and the number of polio cases began to drop. Dr. Albert Sabin developed a second polio vaccine, and the number dropped even further. Scores of laboratories, thousands of doctors and nurses, and millions of Americans with their dimes and dollars worked together to bring an end to the summer of fear. By the close of the century, polio had been virtually eliminated in much of the world. The United States had taken on a cruel, deadly menace and won. And we were able to take on that cruel, deadly menace and win because of freedom, because we had the ability to do it. And there was a doctor involved, obviously, who loved his family and who loved people and was not concerned about the money. He didn't take out the patent, and people today would refer to him as, ignorant or stupid or incompetent or not financially astute. He didn't take out the patent. He could have been a billionaire. But that wasn't his interest. But today it's not that way. And again, I don't mean to go down this rabbit hole and draw these comparisons, but the patents are just are quick to be taken out because the mighty dollar has taken over. Perhaps I shouldn't say the mighty dollar has taken over, but perhaps people who are greedy, people who love the mighty dollar, perhaps they have taken over. Again, that's not my point. And we could certainly make an argument for that. My point is simply this, that, because we have freedom offered to us, then we can go after things. We can go after solutions to problems, big, deep problems. Again, we could ask medically, well, why aren't we finding solutions to these other medical issues? Well, we probably could be, but then again, you have to follow the money. That's all I'm going to say about it. You have to follow the money. My point is the foundation of liberty and freedom this country was built upon has given us the structure wherein we have the ability to solve problems. We have the ability to go after solutions because of freedom, because of freedom and independence and all of that. America's the greatest country on the planet. It has been 4% of the population, yet we are producing, invention after invention after invention. And I would say that even more, there would be more medical cures and medical breakthroughs coming down the pike if perhaps if the money trail were not an issue. All right, but I digress. There are some other things that I would love to get into today. Some other things that, if we looked at the headlines, there's a headline here that says Supreme Court rejects appeal from parents denied custody of transgender teen. Now, I know you saw this case. You saw it where the state of Indiana removed this boy from his parents' home, and there was, some transgender issues. The boy wanted to be a girl, and the parents said no, and so the state of Indiana steps in. Now this is kind of the headline that we're hearing. But after getting further into the case, because what caused me to think about it is that Indiana, red Indiana, they're going to take away this child because mom and dad don't want to refer to the boy in female pronouns. And so Indiana, it just, I don't know. It just got me scratching my head. Todd Rokita is the attorney general in Indiana. And so he's the one that's charged with the task of defending the state on this. And the headline, I don't know. I felt like maybe we need to dive into the case a little bit without just taking the information that the headline gives us. It seems to me that there's something more here. My initial response is, oh, great. Here I thought we were winning as a country, and the Supreme Court kicks the can down the road. They're rejecting the appeal from the parents who had their child removed from their home because they didn't want to affirm the child's gender. I mean, that's what's presented to us. The case at hand, the Supreme Court denied the petition for review. It's MC versus Indiana Department of Child Services. And the Supreme Court denied review in an unsigned order just a couple of the days ago. The case goes back to 2021 when the Indiana Department of Child Services received two reports that the teenager was being abused or neglected based on his claim, but based on his claimed gender identity. So this is what was reported, that there was a call to Department of Child Services. Two reports were filed. Teenager is being abused because his parents don't acknowledge his gender identity. One report said the parents were abusing their child because they did not respect his gender identity. Okay. An Indiana statute similar to laws in most states permits the government to intervene in a variety of situations in which even well-intentioned parents find themselves unable to prevent serious harm. This is Indiana's defense here. It's in our statute, they say. The state also argued that the custody dispute was moot because the child who was 16 when taken from the family home is now an adult. The Office of Indiana Attorney General Todd Rokita, who's a Republican, in a brief filed with the Supreme Court on February 1st, said that the then 16-year-old child was removed from the family home to address a case of severe anorexia, an eating disorder. The purpose of the law is to protect children and others around them, not punish parents, the document states. All right, so court records, parents say there was a report filed with, Child Protective Services because we aren't affirming the child's gender. Rokita comes back and says, well, I mean, yes, that's maybe why the report was filed. But once we looked at things, we realized that the 16-year-old had severe anorexia. That's why we took the child from the home. DCS, Department of Child Services, received a report in May 21 that the parents were suspected of abusing or neglecting the child. A second report came 10 days later, said that they were verbally abusive to the child, and that it's getting worse because they don't accept the child's transgender identity. And then when DCS investigated and began court proceedings, they alleged that the child's health was in danger because the child had been suffering from an eating disorder for a year but had yet to be assessed by a medical professional and had been removed from the school. All right, so this kind of sheds a little bit of a different light on the case. DCS said that the child did not feel mentally and or emotionally safe in the home and was subjected to abusive language. In the agency's view, the child was more likely to have thoughts of self-harm and suicide at home because of mental and emotional abuse. Of course, the trial court then, finds in favor of the Department of Child Services. Department of Child Services expressed concern that the eating disorder was aggravated by the child's disagreement with his parents and would worsen if he returned to the family home. The trial court held a final hearing in December of 21 and allowed DCS to take custody of the child for his, quote, medical issues to get resolved. The court directed the parents not to discuss transgenderism when visiting the child, but said such discussions could take place during family therapy sessions. So it sounds as if, to me, it sounds like the state, and I, again, you can say, well, the state's just saying that they didn't really want to take the child because of eating disorders. I mean, it sounds to me like this is the state's defense, that they're taking the child because of anorexia. And they're saying that, when the parents can talk about transgenderism, but it's got to be in a family therapy session. It's got to be with the intent of finding some healing here for the family, not to get the child riled up and angered so the child's not eating anymore. The parents appealed the decision to the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals rejected the argument that the trial court's final order violated the parents' 14th Amendment right. And then the parents filed a brief with the Supreme Court in February saying that, unlike most other cases, Indiana found the parents fit, but still removed the child over an ideological dispute, which was a disagreement over gender identity. So this is the parents' complaint, that the only reason you took the child out of our home is because we didn't want to affirm his perceived gender identity. And so the parents are, this is the parents' claim. And they say Indiana found all allegations of abuse and neglect unsubstantiated, but refused to return the child to the family home. The Attorney General, Mr. Rokita, released a statement saying, "We always protect parental rights and religious liberty. Neither we nor the Indiana courts believe that the state can remove a child because of a parent's religious beliefs or views about gender identity or anything of the sort. Our office is fulfilling our statutory duty to defend this state agency and to keep an oath I swore when I took office. As the record shows, this state agency acted not on the use of pronouns, but because of the child's extreme eating disorder," Rokita said. The Indiana governor sets DCS policy and hires those employees. "I am very sympathetic to the parents," he continues. "And everyone who follows my work as attorney general knows that I am the biggest defender and proponent of parental rights." So there's definitely, you know, more going on here than what the headline, you know, would say. And I don't just want to jump on the bandwagon here and start blasting Indiana for removing this child because the parents refuse to affirm the child's gender, when Indiana is saying, yeah, that's not why we took the child. It's because of there was an eating disorder. Now, the eating disorder might have been perpetuated or exacerbated by the arguments between child and parent about the child's, you know, sexual identity. I don't think anyone's denying that, but it sounds to me like Indiana did not take the child from the home because of the parents not affirming the child's gender. And this is Indiana's claim. And I think that everything has to be looked at here. So, you know, when we can see this headline, Supreme Court rejects appeal from parents denied custody of transgender teen, you know, we can all automatically throw up our hands and start assuming the worst. But it's important that we read on and that we get all of the details. Let's just not take the headline's word for it. Let's get in, let's read things. So upon further review, okay, I'm not as upset as the headline could have made me. Why didn't the Supreme Court take that case? They just, what, they're not going to even review it? Well, okay, let's just look at the details here. Now, there are other things coming down the pike that I think, again, I think we've got to be happy about. We do, we've got to be. You know, we're not happy about the buffoonery that's taking place. You know, we're not happy about some of the things that we're seeing, but we are happy about the response. We're happy about the response that America is bringing to it. All right, we'll pick this conversation up on the other side. You're listening to The Dean's List on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. We are happy to have you on board. Thank you for listening. You can find us here at AmericaOutLoud.news Monday through Friday, the 2 p.m. Eastern time slot. America Out Loud is the place where smart people go to get their news and information. So congratulations on being one of the smart ones and making it to the Dean's List. Here we talk about education. It's our objective to shine the light of truth on the educational landscape. And in doing so, sometimes, you know, we're forced to get political. That's just the way it is. That's the nature of the beast, which I don't mind. I really don't. I enjoy it. I enjoy politics. I enjoy getting in the fray. Sometimes, because of this objective, also we're forced to go to history class. You don't have to force me to go to history class, though. I love it. Love to go to history class. I think the more of our history we know and understand, the more it can better direct our future. And so that's why we go to history class from time to time. And that's, you know, the history of the polio vaccine to me is very interesting. I mean, we could spend some time diving into it, and we can draw some correlations between our current predicament. Certainly, most certainly, we could do that. My objective in bringing it up today, however, was just to highlight the fact that it happened, and the fact that it happened here in America, and the fact that most inventions are the result of American freedom, American ingenuity, American stick-to-itiveness, rugged individualism, all of those things that the country was founded on. To me, it's a no-brainer. America is the greatest country on the planet because it's founded on freedom. And there are people that will tell you otherwise. Don't believe them. They're lying to you. They are not educating you. And we do know that if you're being lied to, you're not being educated. We know that that's a thing. 2 + 2 is not 5. And if the math teacher is telling your child 2 + 2 is 5, your child is not being educated. Why? Because your child's being lied to. And speaking of being lied to, all right, this headline says Los Angeles School District sued for allegedly hiding transgender CRT curricula. Oh, yeah, we're going after it. The Center for American Liberty has sued a California school district for allegedly dodging public records requests for information about curricula regarding the teaching of transgenderism and critical race theory in the classroom. Harmeet Dhillon, she gets it done. Okay, she's one of our favorites around here. She's the CEO and the founder of Center for American Liberty. She said in a March 20 statement, her organization is deeply concerned about the repeated failure of the Los Angeles United School District to comply with California's Public Records Act. The alleged violation of the Public Records Act undermines transparency and accountability in government. Harmeet had that to say. She continues, this lawsuit is not just about obtaining documents. It's about upholding the public's right to access critical information and ensuring that government agencies are held accountable for their actions. Because we absolutely know that these leftist school districts, if they're going to hide anything, it's not only is it information going to parents about what gender their child wants to be, but also what they're teaching the children. And they're absolutely going to hide critical race theory and transgenderism if they can. The Public Records Act requests ask for curriculum, supplemental materials, correspondence, presentations, and videos regarding ethnic studies, critical race theory, intersectionality, transgenderism, social emotional learning, diversity, equity, inclusion, social justice, racism, white supremacy. Holy cow, Harmeet's not messing around. She wants the list of everything. They also ask for any lesson plans, training materials, and supplemental content that included Howard Zinn, Karl Marx, Robin DiAngelo, Ibram X. Kendi, Kimberly Crenshaw, and other individuals, as well as Latkrit theory, Marxism, the Black Lives Matter, I mean, the 1619 Project, they want it all. Okay, they're absolutely going after all of it. The school district, however, has repeatedly failed to provide requested documents within the mandated time frame or provide documents at all, despite diligent efforts to work with the school district in good faith. This is what Harmeet Dillon has to say about it. So why is the school district not providing information? They can't just come out and say, I'm sorry, we don't have any of this information to provide, because then if it's there, they're in trouble. So they just don't provide it. The fact that the school district just doesn't provide it and produce it, well, it brings up some questions. And I don't mean to get on the bandwagon all of a sudden and start accusing the school district. However, it does bring up some questions. You have to ask yourself, why don't you just come out and say, we don't have any of this information to provide, instead of stonewalling? Yeah, it makes me think you've got the information. That's the initial thought here. A key aspect of the lawsuit involves a series of emails between June 5th of 2023, so this is last summer, and August 11th of 2023, showing the district did not reveal and disclose documents. Despite reasonable requests to narrow down the scope of the search, instead, the district provided web links on August 22nd that failed to meet the requirements of the public records request, further underscoring its lack of compliance. So not only does it underscore its lack of compliance, it also underscores its culpability here. It also underscores that maybe it appears, just on the surface, it appears that the district is trying to hide something. A specific request dated May 22nd of 2023 regarding documents related to the maintenance of pupil records, quote, gender support plans, and communications with certain third-party groups has not been adequately addressed or fulfilled by the school district. Despite assurances to the contrary, the district has not delivered any of the requested documents, constituting a clear breach of its duty under the Public Records Act. So here we are. These requests were presented last May. So we're almost full circle. I mean, we're into March now. We're 10 months and still nothing, only crickets. And we'll send you some web links, and that ought to satisfy everybody. And Harvey Dillon's like, no, web links aren't going to get it done. I asked for documents. I cannot help but wonder what the district is hiding, Mark Trammell, executive director and general counsel for Center of American Liberty, said in an interview with the Epoch Times. Parents have a right to know what their kids are being taught in the classroom. Unfortunately, the Los Angeles School District would rather keep secrets from parents than satisfy transparency required by law. Now, this isn't just parents being nosy. The law requires that there's transparency involved in what the students are being taught. The parents have the right to know. And when Harmeet Dhillon and her organization, filed these records requests, the school district is supposed to comply. So parents know what exactly is happening. Okay, is there Marxism being taught in this school district? Is critical race theory being taught in this school district? Because that's Marxism, kids. That is it. I mean, I could say that's the definition of Marxism. It's not exactly the definition, but I mean, it's one of the things that they love, that they go after. The lawsuit seeks a court ruling to compel the school district to fulfill its obligations under the Public School Records Act, including the prompt disclosure of requested records. All right, stop stonewalling. This legal action is necessary to safeguard transparency, accountability, and the public's right to access essential information, according to the statement. And with that, we would agree. And we question, we wonder, what's the school district hiding? What's going on? In response to an Epoch Times request for comment on March 21st, so just a couple of days ago, a spokesperson for the school district said via email that the district does not typically comment on pending or ongoing litigation. No comment here. No comment. I mean, there's litigation involved. We can't comment. I love it. The Center for American Liberty, founded in 2019 as a nonprofit litigation, education, and public policy organization that states its mission is to advance free speech rights and civil liberties and offers pro bono legal representation in such cases. So Harmeet Dhillon and company, they are going after it here. And it's important that they go after it. It's important that we have watchdog organizations of this type that are willing to roll up their sleeves, willing to dive in to the muck and the mire and find out what in the world is going on. And it just so happens that she's going after Los Angeles, the school district in Los Angeles, but it could be any school district. I would that there were organizations of this type that were going after every single school district in the country. And I don't mean to say going after. I shouldn't term it that way. We're going to go after you. Rah, rah, rah. I don't think that's the attitude. I don't think that's the point. I don't think that's the agenda. Instead of using that verbiage, correct language would be, we just want to know, we want to see your records. We want to know what's going on. We want to know what you're teaching our children. I mean, are you including, do you have content from Howard Zinn, from Karl Marx, Robin DiAngelo, Ibram X. Kendi? So Ibram X. Kendi, this is the person who Burgess Owens quoted the day of the educational subcommittee hearing on Capitol Hill. This was the person who made the statement that the only remedy for racism is anti-racism. This person believes the only remedy for racism is just more racism, but only in reverse. I mean, this, according to Burgess Owens, who read the quote from Kendi, he said that the remedy for past racism is present racism. and the remedy for present racism is future racism. So this man believes that racism is it's always going to exist because racism has to be met with racism. Yep, if you're being wrong, you meet it with another wrong. You know, it's all about two wrongs here. Two wrongs do not make a right, they make more wrongs, and it's wrong compiled upon wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. It's wrong compiled upon wrong. So I think it's appropriate that somebody would ask a school district, are you teaching anything from Ibram X. Kendi? Are you teaching anything from Zinn, Crenshaw? You know, are you using critical race theory? Are you using anything from Black Lives Matter? Are you using anything from the 1619 Project? It's my opinion that these types of questions should be floated to school boards all over the country. I think they should be. I think that at school board meetings, parents should stand up and they should take this list right here. And they should read this list. They should read from this list. And they should ask school board members, pardon me, excuse me, but do your lesson plans or training materials or supplemental content include anything from the following individuals? And just go down the list. Zinn, Marx, D'Angelo, Kendi, Crenshaw, Black Lives Matter, Critical Race Theory, Marxism, 1619 Project, and just ask them and then see what they say. If they say yes, then okay, then you've got something. If they say no, file a records request and let's find out. Did you know anyone can file a records request? You don't have to be somebody special. You know, you don't have to run a nonprofit organization. Anybody can do it. Anybody can just, you know, it's simple. It's about transparency, and you have the right to for government agencies to be transparent because they're in place for the people. And your local school district is a public organization. It's in place for the people. It is there to serve the population. Not to serve the hierarchy, not to serve administration, not to serve the political party that happens to be in operation in the moment. No, it's there on purpose to serve the people. Now, that's not to say that the hierarchy isn't controlling it to serve their own purposes, or the particular political party is not controlling the organization to serve its own purpose. That's most likely happening, but that's not the purpose of the organization. And therefore, you as a citizen have the right to demand transparency, and you can file a records request. This would be a great idea to do it in your school district. It really would. If you truly, I shouldn't say it like that. If you want to save children from the burning building, or if you want to know if the building's on fire, maybe you want to see if there's some smoldering smoke happening somewhere, go after a records request. Ah, Dean, I don't think I want to do that. That just seems like a lot of work. It seems like I'm gonna get my hands muddy and dirty, and I'm just probably gonna get undue attention. Yeah, I mean that might happen. That might happen. You might get undue attention. You might get your hands dirty a little bit. Oh, but you know what? You might just put on your, what did I call it the other day? I called it your big boy Patrick Henry boots. You know, you might just tap into your inner Patrick Henry and take a stand and go after it. Find out what's happening. Especially friends, if you have a child who's in the public school, I would want to know. I would absolutely want to know what is happening. Now, I've got parents that want to know, you know, what I'm teaching their kids at Waterbrook, they'll ask me, and I'm open with it. I tell them it is a classical Christian education. You want to come in, you want to look at the curriculum, have at it. I will lay it out for you. You can take it home. You want to know what's going on here. Your parents have the right to know. They don't have to file a, well, I'm not a public, entity, so, but they'll come in and ask because they want to know and they deserve to know. Parents deserve to know what's happening in the educational environment that their kids are in. They have the right to know what's being told to their child on a daily basis. If I'm a parent, I want to know this, and you should want to know this as well. And so what's happening here in Los Angeles, I love it. Harmeet, keep it up. Keep going after it, because this is how we're winning. These are examples of how we're winning. It's the way the country is responding to the buffoonery, to the Marxist leftist progressive buffoonery. The country's responding in such a way all over the place, from sea to shining sea, all across the fruited plain. We're responding, and there's more response coming out of North Carolina. I love it. I want to get to at the other side of this break, but we're up against it. All right. You're listening to the Dean's List. We'll pause here for a moment on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop. That's AmericaOutloud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
In 2008, people could spend an average of 12 seconds on a task without becoming distracted. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds. The digital age is narrowing our attention span. Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top, shoot it down. Thousands of five-star reviews proves it works. Supercharge your brain and see the difference. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. And this is where smart people go to get healthy. You know, there are products here that are vetted by medical personnel. They're vetted by intelligent people that care about your health. People like Dr. Jonas Salk, who just, he just wanted to help people. That's what he was in it for. He was in it to help people. And there are some fantastic products here at AmericaOutloud.shop. Now, if you go to AmericaOutloud.news, you can click the banner. Matter of fact, on the banner right now, friends, is Cofix RX. You know this is one of my favorites. You know I use it. It's part of my regimen. It's part of my short-term regimen, especially through this the school year. Entering into flu season in the fall and throughout the school year, Cofix RX has bailed me out. And there's another product that I have been taking as of late. It is from HealRight, and it's these ready-to-eat metabolic health bars. And I've got to tell you, they're delicious. Food can be medicine. It can be, and it should be. And this is the point of the HealRight metabolic health bar. Let me tell you what's in them. It is, as they say, a synergistic blend of superfood ingredients. That just sounds good. 20 plus essential vitamins and minerals, soluble and insoluble fiber, omega-3 fatty acids, proteins, antioxidants, and 250 calories per serving. The research says that 7 in 8 Americans are metabolically unhealthy. 7 in 8. I want to be the 8th. I want to be the 8th one because I want to be healthy when it comes to metabolic stuff. All right. I just want to be healthy. And I trust the people that vet the products at AmericaOutloud.news. So visit AmericaOutloud.shop. When using coupon code OUTLOUD, you will get 25%. 25%, friends. It's a stellar deal. Okay, speaking of medicine, Representative Greg Murphy, who is the Republican representative from North Carolina, he's also a practicing urologist. He's introduced a bill just a couple of days ago that would ban race-based mandates at medical schools across the country. So now we've seen this DEI pushback in Florida. We've seen a version of it in Indiana. We've seen it in Alabama. And here we are now at the federal level in the House of Representatives, perhaps maybe finally getting their act together, has introduced this bill. It's known as Embracing Anti-Discrimination, Unbiased Curricula, and Advancing Truth in Education Act. That's what we need. We need advancing truth in education. That's what makes up education. Truth. Not falsehoods, not lies, not pretend, not make-believe, not fairy tale. I like this. I like this name. The measure would block medical schools that provide diversity, equity, and inclusion programs or that adopt certain policies and requirements relating to DEI from receiving federal funds, right? It would put the kibosh on all federal funding going to medical schools that support DEI. I love it. I think we need truth in education. Specifically, the bill states that no graduate medical school at an institution of higher education will be eligible to receive government funding or any other form of financial assistance, including student loans, under any federal program if it forces students to adopt specific beliefs. I think the language should also, tell you what, let me continue reading before I interject what the language should say, because maybe it says it. They include that a specific race, religion, or sex is inherently superior or inferior, or that by virtue of an individual's race, color, religion, sex, ethnicity, or national origin, the individual is a member of oppressed or oppressor categories. All right, but it says that you can't force the student to adopt these specific beliefs. I think it should say that you can't even teach these specific beliefs. Shouldn't it say you can't teach things that are known to be lies? I don't know. I don't know what the language should be. I guess we're getting into dicey waters there. I guess we are. I guess it gets a little dicey. Such beliefs also include that America is systemically, structurally, or institutionally racist, or that racism is weaved into the ordinary business of society, or that America is an oppressive nation, among other things. according to the bill. All right, I mean, it's a start. It's absolutely a start. If you're going to dabble in this stuff at these medical schools, guess what? No more federal funding for you. Uh-huh. Here's what Dr. Murphy said. He's the representative from North Carolina. American medical schools are the best in the world and no place for discrimination. The Educate Act. Okay. I mean, I like that they're calling it the Educate Act. I think they should call it the Truth in Education Act. If they're going to shorten it, let's call it the Truth in Education Act. The act compels medical schools and accrediting agencies to uphold colorblind admission processes and prohibits the coercion of students who hold certain political opinions. Okay. Diversity strengthens medicine, but not if it's achieved through exclusionary practices. Agreed. Very much agreed. Medicine is about serving others and doing the best job possible in every circumstance. We cannot afford to sacrifice the excellence and quality of medical education at the hands of prejudice and divisive ideology. And of course, it notes that Dr. Murphy is a practicing urologist. The measure is also supported by our friends at Do No Harm, Dr. Stanley Goldfarb. He describes himself and his organization as a national association of medical professionals combating the attack on our healthcare system from woke activists. That's what Do No Harm is. And, you know, so we're glad that they're on board. If Dr. Goldfarb is on board, then, you know, I think this is a good thing. Murphy continues, I have witnessed firsthand the alarming rate at which DEI ideology has spread through medical schools across the country. If we fail to stop it, we risk a generation of physicians ill-equipped to meet the needs of their patients. Uh-huh. And then, of course, Do No Harm applauds Congressman Murphy for taking this critical first step to end harmful DEI practices and make academic excellence the priority for medical schools once again. Make medical schools great again. Let's do it. Let's get in there. Let's do it. However, there are some opponents to the bill. Are you ready for this? One of the chief opponents is, shocking, the Association of American Medical Colleges. How are you going to oppose this bill? You are the Association of American Medical Colleges. But they argue the presence of diversity, equity, and inclusion in medical school curricula is, quote, intended to train the next generation of physicians to respond most appropriately to the rapidly diversifying populations that they will serve. Doing so increases the likelihood for better health care and healthy lives for all patients. No, it doesn't. You're lying. Including individuals who have been historically marginalized by the healthcare system. That's their statement. That is the statement from the Association of American Medical Colleges. But here I'm holding this article from the Daily Wire. This is a couple of weeks ago. Ben Shapiro obtained internal emails from UCLA's medical school documenting how medical students have to take a class called Structural Racism and Health Equity, which teaches them about indigenous resistance and white colonialism. So, Association of American Medical Colleges, is this class helping to train the next generation of physicians to respond most appropriately? Are they going to respond most appropriately by taking a class that deals with indigenous resistance and white colonialism? For the class, students are told to read from, quote, Our History is the Future, which is about settler colonialism and indigenous resistance on a global scale. UCLA med students are told to read about wars of indigenous resistance in which Native Americans killed thousands of white people to, quote, imagine what liberation could look like. How is this going to train the next generation of physicians to respond most appropriately? That's not going to train them to respond appropriately. How is this going to increase the likelihood for a better health care and healthy lives for all patients? Association of American Medical Colleges. Additionally, students at UCLA are taught about blackness and indigeneity. I can't even say that word. Indigeneity. What? And how we can imagine a world in the aftermath of settler colonialism and white supremacy. The med students are also urged to read an article called Decolonization is Not a Metaphor. Why is this class even offered, much less mandatory for med students? How is this going to help them respond appropriately? Which lessons on anatomy, biochemistry, and saving lives were removed to add this woke nonsense into the curriculum? That's the question. This is a widespread problem. This week we found, according to the article, we found Wake Forest's med school will graduate a student who bragged about injuring a conservative patient, and a surgeon at Duke admitted to abandoning all sorts of metrics to hire more non-white surgeons. The only way to stop this DEI insanity in medicine is to expose it. And also to pass laws that prohibit it. You know, just exposing it alone is not enough. It certainly is not the only way, and it's not enough. We have to pass laws that advance truth in education yet again. That's what we need. If you don't have education and truth, then you graduate students that brag about harming conservatives intentionally. That's what you do, because you're not educating them. You're not educating them at all. You're teaching them a lie. You're teaching them falsehoods. Okay, this type of pushback, friends, is, again, it's why I say we're winning. And I say we're winning because the eyes of Americans are opening. We have smart people. We do. We have smart people in the House of Representatives, like Representative Murphy, who realize what's happening in medical schools across the country. We have smart people in government who realize what's happening in higher areas of in higher education and in higher institutions of learning. They realize what's going on, and they're doing things to put an end to it, to put a stop to it. And we have to get behind it. We have to support it. If they have the will of the people in support of them, then we will succeed. Much like what's happening with Planet Fitness, the will of the people will succeed, my friends. All right. We are up against it for the day. That's all the time we have for America Today. Thank you for joining me. Encourage your friends and family to get on the Dean's List. Let's unite to renovate the age.